Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We are joined by Fred Flights, my friend and colleague at the Center for Security Policy, our Senior Vice President for Policy and Programs. This is the latest role he is playing in the great service to our country that he has rendered for decades, including for about 20 years as a Central Intelligence Agency analyst. He went on to become the Chief of Staff for John Bolton when John was the Undersecretary of State. And he has also been a professional staff member on the House Intelligence Committee. He is the author of Obama Bomb, a great and a dangerous and growing national security fraud. Fred Flights, welcome back. Happy New Year to you. It's so good to have you with us.
Good to be here. Happy New Year.
Well, I'm hoping it will be one. It's off to an interesting start. I did want to talk, we've been discussing with others in the course of the program, Iran. Tell us what your views are, Fred, in connection with this, well, Obama bomb fiasco of President Obama. Should we be encouraging him to play a role now in the face of these efforts to overthrow, we hope, the regime in Iran by the people there?
That's really an excellent question, and it is something the media is not talking about, because the 2015 nuclear deal with Iran, the JCPOA, emboldened Iran's leaders, gave them billions of dollars, which they spent on the military. And consider this, Frank. In 2015, Iran extended, just about the time that the deal was announced, Iran extended a $1 billion line of credit to the Syrian government. And last year offered $800 million to Hezbollah, Iran's terrorist proxy. Meanwhile, the Iranian people can't buy eggs and chicken, and some are selling their organs because they don't have money to live on. So if there was justice in this world, Barack Obama would take responsibility for this disastrous deal and help President Trump unify the world against the Iranian governor, but I'm not going to hold my breath for that to happen.
Well, and I worry that it won't happen, and any role that he's likely to play, given his past track record, that is to say Barack Obama, will be one of actually trying to prop up this regime, not bring about the change that I think we all recognize is really the only answer here. Fred, let me turn to North Korea, another subject you've been following very closely for decades at the agency and subsequently. You've warned relentlessly about the fact that it was acquiring nuclear weapons. They now have them, thermonuclear weapons apparently as well. There was an interesting exchange of views, shall we say, by Kim Jong-un and President Trump about nuclear buttons. Give us a reading, Fred, as you see things now, as to both the substance of this nuclear challenge we're facing and our ability to respond to it, but also, Fred, the president's decision that he's going to very publicly demonstrate his confidence in our ability to smack down, if need be, this North Korean threat.
Well, the president's tweet that his nuclear button is bigger than the North Koreans has gotten the predictable condemnations in the news media. But frankly, we have a president who is tired of the United States being threatened with nuclear attacks by this lunatic North Korean leader, and the president was standing up to him. And it's had an effect. The hotline between North Korea and South Korea, the North Koreans suddenly turned it back on this week. And I'm a little worried about talks between the North Koreans and the South Koreans, because I'm worried that South Korean President Moon is all too willing to give more concessions to the North. But it's clear that the North Koreans fear President Trump, and they realize that they can't bully him into coming to the negotiating table. I think they realize that military action from the U.S. is coming if they continue down the path they're on right now.
Fred, this is very vexing. We have, in both the Iran and North Korean cases, looked, as in the past, for some help from the United Nations. The president, of course, has been roundly denounced by the majority of members of the UN General Assembly for his decision to move the embassy to Israel's capital, Jerusalem. We talked a little bit about that with Daniel Pipes earlier in the program. But I'm interested in your thoughts about what we need to do to hold the UN accountable for the sorts of work that it could conceivably perform in spaces like Iran and North Korea, and to stop it doing the sorts of things that have made it a playpen for, well, the way I think of it is totalitarians, tyrants, and terrorists.
Well, I published an article in National Review recently entitled "How to Hold the UN Accountable Again." And I mentioned that the statements that President Trump and Ambassador Haley have made about UN corruption and bias, they're really not new, but what's happening here is that we have a Republican administration that after a 25-year hiatus is finally calling out the UN for all this bias against Israel, against the United States, and its abuse and manipulation by radical third world states. This stopped when George H.W. Bush left the White House. Barack Obama made it worse with his speeches apologizing for U.S. policies. Now, there was a brief time during the George W. Bush administration, John Bolton, as U.N. ambassador, he did try to hold the U.N. accountable, but he was only there for 18 months. When nations vote against the U.S., there should be consequences. And I think that's what President Trump and Ambassador Haley are saying. Now, you and I remember well that this was done by Ambassador Kirkpatrick under the Reagan administration and several other U.N. ambassadors under Presidents Reagan and George H.W. Bush. We have to do that again.
Right. I hope they will. They're certainly making the right sorts of noises. It's time we get on with it, it seems to me. Fred, let me turn lastly to the issue of your old committee, the House Intelligence Committee, and what seems to have been a rather signal development in its efforts to examine with care what's going on with this whole contention that there has been collusion between Donald Trump's team, his campaign most especially, and the Russians, specifically this issue of a dossier, which seems to have driven a lot of these charges and surveillance by the Obama administration of the Trump team and the like. For quite some time, Chairman Nunes of the Intelligence Committee in the House was essentially sandbagged or stonewalled by both Rod Rosenstein, the Deputy Attorney General, and Christopher Wray, the FBI Director, on his efforts to get relevant information from those agencies about this dossier. What's the latest on it, and does it constitute a breakthrough that's likely to give us some real insights into what actually was going on here?
I'm cautiously optimistic that the Justice Department is going to provide information on this dossier to the committee. Bear in mind that this was a Democrat-funded document to smear the Trump campaign, to smear President Trump, and I think to ensnare Trump officials in endless investigations by the deep state. And, you know, something people don't talk about, Fusion GPS, one of the co-founders of this organization, he actually met with the Russian attorney who met with Donald Trump Jr. in June 2016 before and after that meeting. You know what this is? This is a trap. I think that's what this all was. It was an effort to smear the Trump campaign and to trap them. That's what the committee's investigating. That's what Nunes is trying to prove. And I think the evidence is very strong.
Well, and the point really, I think, is there was actual collusion with the Russians in doing that, first in the preparation of the dossier and then running this, you know, honey trap or whatever it was against Donald Trump Jr. It's extraordinary. And I want to commend the chairman and also, in fairness, the Speaker of the House. I've been critical of him, but I gather he finally did help Chairman Nunes put the wood to Rod Rosenstein, who, it seems to me, has passed his useful shelf life as Deputy Attorney General, as well as Christopher Wray. Fred, I know you'll be following these matters closely. I'm so proud of the work you do for us and for the country at places like National Review and Fox News and Newsmax and elsewhere. I know you'll keep it up and look forward to talking with you week after week throughout 2018. Thank you, my friend. God bless you, and we'll talk with you next week. Next up, we'll speak with Lawrence Peck, a man who knows a lot about North Korea and its operations inside the United States as well. Fascinating stuff. Straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.